this is Harry Shearer, and you are listening to TV Confidential, a radio show about television.
Ed Robertson, welcoming you to this week's edition of TV Confidential, radio talk show about television that has taken a few days off. This week, we're back with a brand new edition of the program. Next week, later on, we will replay conversations that originally aired earlier this year with George Chakiris and Ridley. Both Ridley and George Chakiris are among the many celebrities that are scheduled to participate in a special celebrity authors forum that will take place next week at the Hollywood Museum. We'll tell you more about that event over the course of the program. In the meantime, we will open up this week's show with a replay of a conversation that originally aired in August 2019 with Will Ryan, Nick Santamaria, and Michael Schlesinger. Will and Nick were the stars, and Mike the writer, producer, and director of The Misadventures of Biffle and Schuster, a collection of 1930s-style comedies that pay homage to the Three Stooges, Abbott and Costello, Laurel and Hardy, and other classic comedy teams. Will Ryan passed away last week at the age of 72. Greg Airbar and I are putting together a formal tribute to Will that will focus on his career as a voice artist, songwriter, singer, and musician, particularly for Walt Disney Records and Walt Disney Animation. That will air as part of our program next week. In the meantime, we're going to replay one of our favorite segments with Will Ryan. As we mentioned, it originally aired in August 2019 and featured Will and Nick in character as Biffle and Schuster, talking about the unheralded but nevertheless significant television career of America's favorite faux comedy team. We're going to do something a little different. We mentioned that one of the extra features on The Misadventures of Biffle and Schuster DVD is Biffle and Schuster, the vintage 1962 interview that was done around the time of their cameo appearance.
I think it was around 1962.
Their cameo appearance in Into Mad World. What we didn't know is there's actually a second vintage Biffle and Schuster interview. We're going to play that for you right now.
And it is around the mid-60s?
It's around the mid-60s. This is before their footage of Into Mad World got cut. But they were on the map. They were doing television shows. They did an episode of Perry Mason. They hosted the Hollywood Palace and
made the beach
a couple
movies.
Of beach party movies.
Yep. This is back when TV Confidential was a smaller show. We were much younger.
We're only on one station.
Yeah, I had hair.
Yes.
On my head.
Yes. And you guys are also up for the Victor Mature part in Head.
Yeah.
With the Monkees movie.
There's so much to discuss.
This is an
exciting era.
But the Perry Mason you guys did, it was your dramatic acting.
We're very excited about that. Yeah. I had to really convince Sammy to do it because he was so, he wanted to throw in gags. He had a trunk load of gags. He showed up with them all. He had whoopee cushions, rubber chickens, you know, all the things he brought on his honeymoon. I convinced him eventually that we could show another side to Biffle and Schuster.
Yeah, I thought it was important that we do something that would make an impression because I was very disappointed with the script because we didn't, in the last part of it.
You were not part of the histrionics at the very, very final.
Exactly. Moment. I wanted to be the guy that said, wait a minute, I did do it after all.
Yeah, yeah. Right? And you wanted to make that hamburger joke.
Right.
Remember?
Because they never did it.
Yeah.
The whole
and
show.
And he wanted to do it. He wanted to do it. Yeah.
It's so obvious.
And ham,
every
Hamilton
week
burger.
People watch
hamburger.
The show. That's why I always
Yeah, no one
it.
Ever brought
when
that up.
Right.
Well, I brought up a few hamburgers I've eaten in the past, but never did we make that joke about, William Tallman.
Actually.
Yeah. He wasn't that tall, by the way.
No, he was not that tall.
But he was very William.
Paul Drake was tall.
Yeah, Paul Drake was tall.
Very tall. I understand because you guys did so well your first appearance on Perry Mason, you were up for one of the guest attorney spots because Burr missed a couple of shows, and so they had special guest stars. And I understand it was going to be a special episode where Biffle and Schuster defended the defendant in tandem. It was going to be a double.
In fact, we were on a tandem bicycle doing it.
It was a funny scene, but they cut it out.
They cut it out. Yeah. They didn't like it. Yeah. We added a few gags.
And the Beatles used it in their movie.
Yeah. What was that movie again?
Hard Night.
Hard Night for Texas.
Hard Day's Bike.
What about that scene with Della Street?
Yeah. Della Street.
Barbara.
Yeah.
Barbara. We almost got married once.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Oh, no wonder you're so hale.
Yeah. No, but she was going out with Kit Carson.
Oh, right, that old cowboy.
Bill Williams.
Yeah.
Right?
Bill Williams.
Bill Williams.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
Bill Williams. He was Kit Carson, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
On television.
Yeah.
Not on the radio.
Not in real life.
No, so, not in real life.
No.
So you guys were in on the dawn of television when
That's
it was
right.
just...
And, yeah, we were there.
Did anybody think it was going to last?
Well, you know, when Burl came on, remember Burl came on in 1948, I believe it was, for Texaco.
Texaco Star Chief. Yeah.
Right, right. Everybody had to get a television to see Burl, you know? But it was like visiting old jokes as far as we were concerned.
He never hired us. Right, right. He never hired us. So we got even with him that time that we put on the Texaco stuff and
joined
the quartet.
We came out with the quartet. Yeah. It was a sextet at that point.
Right.
You pardon my language.
It was very funny.
Yeah, it was very funny. We had the men from Texaco. We hailed from Maine to Mexico and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. The funny thing was, that's what we did. We said da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And it was a dead giveaway.
When the girl came out.
He slapped you, I remember.
He did.
Oh, that hurt.
And I slapped him.
Yeah, that's right. And then you both turned around and slapped me.
Right, right.
It was terrible. It was very...
Them and they had to carry him away, and that's how we got to do the show up until the next commercial, and then he got better, and we didn't speak for many years.
Burl never forgave us.
Yeah,
never forgave
us. So I take it he did not appear on your episode of the Hollywood Palace that you hosted.
We did not have Milton on the Hollywood Palace. We did borrow Sidney Spritzer to do our bit, the heckler bit from the box, remember?
That's right.
Yeah, I think that didn't sit too well with Burl either.
And we tried to get, what's his name, the very likable guy with the likable face that used to work with Burl. I'm not talking about Arnold Stang, but his stooge before him, you know?
Before Arnold Stang?
Yeah. Jack.
Jack the Ripper.
Jack, you know, he did the commercials, too.
Talking about what's his name?
Jack Carter.
No,
Jack Palance.
Jack Douglas.
Jack Lalanne. No.
Is it the
Jack,
guy with the puppets? No, the puppet kid?
Jack, the funny guy.
Jack, the funny guy.
Jack, the funny guy.
Jack, probably
boy.
Begins with K. Anyway,
Jack Kirkpatrick.
Jack Cheeks.
Jack Koykin. Jack Kelman.
Jack and Ape.
Jack Kaka. Jack Koy. Jack Kilman. Jack, Jebby Reynolds. Yeah. No, okay.
Jack but Hughes.
Who?
Jack Hughes.
Why don't you keep quiet?
Yeah, we got Emil Zola here writing material.
Yeah, I know. I feel like, what's his name?
Nick Santa Maria and Will Ryan are with us in character as we take a look at the rarely discussed but nonetheless fascinating television career of Biffle and Schuster throughout the 1960s and the remarkable impact the boys had on many iconic TV shows and TV moments. Nick and Will, of course, are the stars of The Misadventures of Biffle and Schuster, a bona fide, authentic, and very, very funny DVD collection of 1930s comedy shorts about the greatest comedy team, Benny Biffle and Sammy Schuster, that never actually existed. But The Misadventures of Biffle and Schuster exists, and you can find it now on DVD through our friends at Kino Lorber. This segment originally aired in August 2019. Will Ryan passed away Friday, November 19th, at the age of 72.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PIE, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on?
Yeah, podcast, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus? Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
We are
the real Brady Bros.
Brady Brothers from the TV show Brady Bunch. I'm Barry Williams.
And I'm Christopher Knight.
I played Greg. And who were you again?
I played Peter. We've decided that we're going to do a podcast around episodes of The Brady Bunch. We're going to use it as a prism to look back to our experience doing the show and why The Brady Bunch is still popular.
Have a sunshine day.
We are the real Brady Bros.
Who were some of the other guests on Hollywood Palace with?
Oh, when we hosted?
Yeah.
We had Bertha the Elephant, remember?
Yes,
Bertha
yes.
the Elephant
it was a very
did
good
her, her piece,
yes.
yeah.
And, you know, Mary Hartline came on with Bertha.
Oh.
She did her little, yeah, yes. tribute to herself.
Because she hadn't done a circus thing outside of Chicago.
That's right. And well, she introduced the Flying Bordellos,
yes.
who did
yeah.
their act
right.
for us.
Yes.
I don't know how they got away with that name.
I know.
And
it was a real name.
Yeah, we had Rosemarie and Maury Amsterdam doing their act that they yeah. were doing in Vegas at the time, capitalizing on their Dick Van Dyke show fame. And we also had Eartha Kitt. Eartha
that's
Kitt
right.
singing some of her sexy songs.
Yes,
we love Eartha.
Yeah. Santa yeah. Baby.
Santa Baby.
Santa Baby.
Oh, and Stacey
yeah,
Ball.
Stacey Ball. Bon.
Yeah, except she sang it in French, so nobody knew
understood
what she was saying.
Yeah, we were a little peeved about that.
Of course, that show was live, so
yes.
That was done live on Saturday nights on ABC. And, you
10
know,
o'clock.
10 o'clock, so you guys were in your element.
We had Bertha the Elephant. Yes, she did her bit. Remember?
Good. And you know, Mary Hartline brought her on. I don't know if I mentioned that.
No, I don't think you mentioned that.
Yeah, we couldn't get Claude Kirshner because he was too tall for the studio. You know, in Chicago, they had a very high ceiling there because they had trapeze acts.
Yeah, so but when Claude tried to do his thing
studio.
In our studio,
the
he had to stoop
beanpole.
Down.
Yeah.
He had to stoop down, and everyone thought he was Groucho Marx. Yeah.
But,
so we.
But I just want to say because you brought up Perry Mason, you know, and
I think his mother brought him up.
Remember our pal who was there.
Who?
Georgie Stone was doing every episode.
That's
yeah,
right.
He was the stenographer who appeared in the background.
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
He was losing his sight at the time, and Burr made sure that he always had at least a, if not a speaking role, a silent bit to keep his pension.
Right.
Yeah. yeah.
Right.
Yep.
Raymond Burr was a very kind man.
Yeah, he was.
Loved children.
He was a practical joker, so he must have loved you guys.
Oh, we hit it off.
Yeah,
we hit it off. Yeah, yeah. He was good. We kept calling him Burr Tilstrom. Remember? We kept calling him that. He hated that.
Speaking of Chicago.
Yeah.
yeah.
Who was speaking of Chicago? You know, you are.
I was talking about Mary Hartline in Chicago and Claude Kirshner in Chicago. And who's the guy from King and I?
Yul Brynner.
Whenever we'd be in Chicago, he was the director. But he used to have hair then, so you couldn't recognize
that's
that
right,
he was going to be
right.
famous.
Yeah, Yul Log.
Yes,
no, Yul Brynner.
Yul Brynner.
Yeah. I thought it was Yul Log. I'm sorry. Yes. They were both hot.
Yeah.
Why don't you tell us about the beach movies that you did?
Oh, I got to tell you, we did one where it was just Frankie Avalon. So it was the first time he worked without a net. I've been dying to use that. I've been dying to use it.
I was going to say that. But,
well, I got that.
Oh, well, yeah.
But yeah, we enjoyed those films.
Yeah, we never got to work with Annette, though.
No. But those kids in the bikinis, I mean, they were just, it was life-affirming.
I understand that Harvey Lembeck.
Eric Von Zippa.
He considered you guys mentors.
Well, yeah, he was very kind to us. He said that he grew up watching our films, and that's how he came across all of these slapstick antics that he became so famous for.
He would not have been the comic foil he was were it not for you guys.
I'm kicking sand
around. What happened was we had an office in the Von Sternberg building on the Paramount lot, and we thought, what are we going to do with this office? So we started having comedy classes and acting classes there.
Yeah.
And he came in, you know, he was on the Bilko show, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
he was Rocco Barbella.
Yeah. So he came to Los Angeles, and he came up and saw what we were doing, and then we had a thing in Las Vegas, so we let him take over the acting class, and
that became a big thing for him.
Yeah,
a lot of people studied under Harvey,
Robin Williams.
Yeah, but we don't know about Robin Williams because this is 1960 whatever.
Well, we had a crystal ball installed.
Oh, really? I danced there.
But Robin Williams would have known about you guys.
Yeah, well, Robin Williams was a big fan, actually.
Yeah.
He was a big fan.
He was a little boy. He wrote you a letter.
He did write us a letter. I think it was a consonant.
Yes.
But it was very well done, I thought.
No, it was a vowel, and it was the
letter, it was a vowel?
It was the letter I.
Oh, okay. Yes. He was always...
Tonight's show is brought
that
to
was
by,
a,
the letter
by the
I.
letter I. I know. Mine have been poked. But but anyway, we loved making those beach movies, and we don't mind the rock and roll. The rock and roll is kind of nice.
No,
you know, it was good.
Well, didn't you guys do a single, sort of a novelty rock and roll single?
We did a whole album.
Yeah,
and
we did.
It was produced by Ian Whitcomb.
Ian Whitcomb.
Yeah, because he did one with Mae West.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. He worked with Mae.
He's good enough for Mae. He's good enough for us.
That's right. That's right. Yeah.
But he's British, so we sang with kind of a British accent.
Well, we also did a rock and roll, our own rock and roll song.
Yeah, yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Was it original songs or was it covers of other?
No. We did an original song, actually, that we wrote ourselves.
Yeah.
It was called We Rock and Roll with Rocks in Our Heads.
Yeah.
Became very big.
The one Surfing on the Moon.
Surfing on the Moon was very good. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that was good.
We did
Ian's song, the Turn On song.
Yeah, and the Watusi Wombat. Remember that one?
Yeah.
The Watusi Wombat.
That's right.
That was one of my favorites.
And then we did the flip side was the Wombat Watusi.
That's right. That's right. But you had to play it backwards.
Yes.
In order to get the message.
We got Sandy.
But Sammy Schuster is dead. Exactly.
Yeah. We had a whole thing going with that. Everybody thought it was real.
We went to New York and we tried to do an album with Sandy Linzer and Denny Randall. Because they had a couple of hits out, including The Toys. They wrote a song with Mozart.
Mm-hmm.
Something about a shampoo or something. I forget what the song was.
The Lover's Concerto.
That's it. I knew it was a big word.
How is in the rain.
Those guys split up. And Sandy Linzer teamed up with Petrillo, but not Sammy. Yeah, no, not Sammy Petrillo. With another Sam Petrillo. So Sandy Linzer and Mike Petrillo.
Petrillo was head of the union.
Yeah.
Tough fella.
Yeah.
Tough.
He had those Petrillo strikes. And he only had two of them.
Yeah, that's true. But he was a lousy bowler.
Yeah, okay. Three strikes and he's going to be out.
But anyway, we did the rock and roll thing.
Nick Santamaria and Will Ryan are with us in character as we take a look at the television career of Biffle and Schuster throughout the 1960s and the remarkable impact the boys had on many iconic TV moments. Nick and Will, of course, are the stars of The Misadventures of Biffle and Schuster, a bona fide, authentic, and very, very funny DVD collection of 1930s comedy shorts about the greatest comedy team, Benny Biffle and Sammy Schuster, that never actually existed. But The Misadventures of Biffle and Schuster exists, and you can find it now on DVD through our friends at Kino Lorber.
You went on Dick Clark's show?
We had a little trouble with the lip syncing because our hearing isn't the best.
Yeah. Right.
I'm sorry, what?
And it wasn't...
Some of the critics said it was more career syncing than lip syncing.
What I liked about it was a lot of nice songs, good, well written songs by real composers.
Yeah,
like Who's Sorry Now? We're being very popular with the kids all over again.
That's right. You know? That's right.
We thought we'd have a chance with the. We did Barney Google with a rock and roll beat. And we did Yes, We Have No Bananas, because there was no bigger hit in 1923 than Yes, We Have No Bananas, and except maybe Barney Google. And so we did both of those with...
They were on the same 45, by the way.
We had guys, it's the guys who worked for Kirshner, and we recorded over at Capitol
Don Records, Kirshner?
Studio B and Studio E at
the
48.
The man with the golden ear.
It was at 48 East 52nd Street, and we had Simon and Garfunkel's engineer...
That's right. When they would travel by train.
Mm-hmm.
And we had the two Freds. We had Old Fred and Young Fred, who were engineers.
Weird because Old Fred was younger than Young Fred, and Young Fred was older than Old Fred.
That's right.
But anyway, we're up for a role in The Monkees. You know, the TV show. Yeah. All the kids are
talking
about it.
Speaking of rock and roll.
The kids love it.
Yeah.
They love it.
Yeah.
And it's funny. It's a funny show. I've watched a few of the episodes, and the kids are great. And they want us to be on the show. And we're going to talk to them next week. We have a meeting with them next week.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk to them.
Yeah. They're shooting out at the Columbia Ranch.
That's right. That's right. It's the Western spoof they're doing.
Yeah. Yes.
Remember, they wanted us to be the sidekicks. So,
we're on a horse again.
Hey. Yeah, we were on horses. Remember Texas Twits?
Sure, yeah.
Oh, that was a good one.
Right. Battle Sore.
Yeah. I think you co-hosted the Mike Douglas show.
Oh, he had us on all week.
Yeah.
He had us on all week.
Yeah. Cleveland, back in Cleveland.
No, well, actually, no. That was Philadelphia.
No.
Philadelphia.
The first time we were on was in Cleveland.
Yeah, right. But I tried to forget that. But we did it in Philadelphia.
Well, a bunch of our friends at Short Vincent Street were still there, and it was great to see them. And we stayed at the Sheraton.
Oh, there goes. Now we got a free room at the Sheraton.
We were playing at Jim Swingles.
I was driving a Cadillac.
Jim Swingles at the time.
Yeah, he had that, shingles.
And
I told you, my hearing's not that great.
But you're right. We did it later on.
We did it in Philadelphia when he was in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
Now, he used to do all those surprises. You know, Mike Douglas was known for the surprises.
Well, he surprised us.
I remember when he brought out some of your co-stars.
He sang on key one day.
But he brought out some of your co-stars.
That's right. He brought out Edmund Lowe came to visit us.
I think it was Edmund Lowe Jr.
L-O-E-W. L-O-E-W.
Yeah, that's right. He showed up to say hello. And we worked in vaudeville with Rose Marie. And she was on the Hollywood Palace with us, and that was a great reunion. Mm-hmm. Yeah, she came on the show as well. I remember she got mad at you because you set her on fire accidentally. I told you to be careful with that cigar, but you wouldn't listen to me. You know, so. But Rose Marie was on fire for a little while, but you know, and then I made that joke about cooking ham, and she got really angry with me.
And I've talked about 3D movies with her, you know, She's sensitive about that 3D movie she did.
Oh, you mean Top Banana?
Yeah.
With another guy named Biffle.
Yeah, right. Oh, that's right.
Jerry Biffle.
You know, they still can't find the left side.
Of who?
Of Top Banana.
Oh, because of the...
Somebody threw out one of the negatives.
That's right.
But what have we got two negatives of this for? They threw one out. It was... Half
for the people
the
who
stereo.
Don't know what we're talking about, the movie Top Banana was filmed in 3D, but now it's only the flat one.
Yeah.
And Rose Marie was like virtually cut out of it. At least
she's got nothing to do.
All her music.
But I understand that she got into an argument with the producer.
That's my understanding, too.
That's right. Well, that's the story she tells me.
You don't mess with Rose Marie.
Oh, no. You don't mess with Rose Marie.
No.
Oh, no. She'll hit you with that flower in her hand. You know, I've got sinus trouble.
You're listening to Will Ryan and Nick Santa Maria in character as Biffle and Schuster from a conversation that originally aired in August 2019, in which we talked about the unheralded but nevertheless significant TV career of Biffle and Schuster. Will Ryan passed away last week at the age of 72. We will play more of our conversation with Will Ryan and Nick Santa Maria at the end of our second hour. We'll be able to stay tuned for that. In the meantime, take a quick time out, then we will replay our conversation with George Chakiris that aired earlier this year. We come back on TV Confidential. Dee Wallace, also one of the stars who appear in Hollywood Museum Squares, the special 5-episode virtual tribute to Hollywood Squares that is available for viewing on demand through sellertickets.com. All proceeds from sales of Hollywood Museum Squares support the efforts of our friends at the Hollywood Museum. I don't remember you ever doing a game show before.
Oh, yeah, in my earlier career I did. Don't ask me what they were. I can't tell you now.
Be part of our conversation. If you like what you hear, have thoughts on this week's program, or have an idea for a future edition of TV Confidential, we'd love to hear from you. You can email us at talk@tvconfidential.net, talk@tvconfidential.net. You can also message us at facebook.com/TV Confidential, x.com/TV Confidential, or @TV Confidential on Instagram. And if you're listening to us on the TV Confidential podcast, please be sure to hit the subscribe button.
This portion of TV Confidential is brought to us by our friends at Front Porch Realty, the community of realtors in the Northern Bay area of California that is committed to finding the solution that is best for their clients. Whether you're a first-time home buyer or looking to sell or lease your property in Northern California, call Karen Strain at 415-886-7411 or visit frontporchrealtygroup.com for more information on how they can help you.